Hello, my name is Anne McPhail and I'm a member of the International Forum for Teacher Educator Development. Welcome to the EdTED video podcast, where we delve into the transformative work of the EdTED project. EdTED is an Erasmus Plus cooperation partnership project dedicated to creating a robust European professional network and fostering communities among higher education teacher educators. Our goal is to support teacher educators in their professional development as they address critical issues of equity and diversity throughout teacher education programmes. In today's episode, we are thrilled to welcome Melanie Nguyen, not only a colleague but friend with an expertise, if I may say, in teacher education and the sociology of education. Together, we're going to explore the provision, policies and programmes with respect to equity and diversity. So please stay tuned for an insightful conversation to advance equity and diversity practices in teacher education. So, Melanie, you're very welcome and thank you as always for the time that you give to discussions.
Thank you.
Let's start off with, you know, the sort of level of awareness that you have as a teacher educator of the provision that is available in Ireland or it's not available in Ireland for teacher educators and pre-service teacher in teaching for equity and diversity.
Well, thanks, Anne. Thanks for inviting me along today. So as a teacher educator, and I suppose I must make a disclosure, I'm a former member of the Teaching Council of Ireland as well, as Anne was involved in the formulation of CAME, which is the National Standards for Teacher Education. And that's probably the first place I'd go in answering the question around the provision in Ireland for teacher educators and pre-service teacher education training. So for the first time ever, a core competency within CAME now addresses global citizenship in education, which involves equity and diversity and much more besides, but the basic tenets really of equity and diversity. This is a really important development in terms of teacher education because it the core principles are there and they're mandatory. So each programme of teacher education for primary and for post-primary teacher candidates or student teachers must include aspects of this. The piece that's interesting really about it is, though, how it's included, because we're 2 years into CAME at this stage and we're not entirely sure how this has been interpreted or implemented across programmes. And as you well know, these teacher ed programmes are packed. The curriculum is absolutely packed. So everybody fights for their spot and their space on it. So how much time and space, explicit time and space, that equity, diversity gets on these programmes is interesting, to say the least. But I will say there is an official mandatory piece within our teacher education standards, which is, you know, is welcome. The challenge as always with these things is how does it actually, how visible is it and how is it actualized on a day to day?
Okay, thank you. So what extent then do you believe there's a need for more specifically targeted policies and provision in Ireland that promote equity and diversity for teacher educators and pre-service teachers?
Yeah, so policy, I suppose, came under the Teaching Council as the regulator for teacher education in Ireland, you know, addresses that somewhat and addresses the provision somewhat. But what it doesn't address really is the, I won't say the audit trail on this, but the, you know, checking out how is this actually done. So we probably need another policy to ensure that whilst it's in the standards and it's in the framework, that is definitely happening. And at this point in time, there isn't an actual policy, you know, to do this. So there's a high level of trust between the Teaching Council and teacher education providers that what's accredited is what's happening. I will go so far as to say I think that might need to go a little bit further and maybe to have a mid-programme reporting mechanism or something like that, obviously hanging from a policy that looks about the implementation of the standards as opposed to just assuming that everything is being done as it was said to be done. Now, none of us want to have to do more administration in what we're doing, but certainly around equity and diversity, and because it's a new core competence, I think it really does need to be followed up on, but you'd have to have a policy that would cover all of the teacher education standards if you're going to do it. And it would be included then in that, I suppose.
And I think if we did that as well, that would form a form of accountability for ourselves.
Yes.
You know, in the sense of what are we doing effectively or what we're not doing effectively, yeah, and what assistance or support do we need?
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, I mean, even if I was kind of so bold as to suggest, I mean, it could be done as a reflective document, you know, a self-reflective document within programs that wouldn't be onerous on providers, because providers are doing what they're doing, so it shouldn't be that onerous. But I think it's that midway point evaluation, perhaps, of what are you actually doing and how are you actually doing it and how effective is it?
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be useful.
It's a really nice point. Mm-hmm. Thank you. What about, would you be kind enough to share some examples of how the teacher education programs that you are or have been involved in reflect equity and diversity in curriculum content and the teaching practices?
Yeah, so I suppose, I mean, you said at the outset I teach sociology of education, which I do, and I have done since I started in higher education. So within the sociology of education modules, there is a curriculum there, you know, that we follow. Within teacher education, I will say that I won't say it's diluted, but it's adjusted to fit teacher education candidates, as opposed to being pure sociology. So certainly what I teach, I pick a number of theories kind of at the macro, meso and micro levels that would be applicable for teacher education candidates. And I weave those in, and I work with the student teachers to get them to see this in the daytime reality, the practice reality of being in school. So within the modules that we teach, it's there. Within our assessment, we have opportunities to get students to, you know, to design maybe a vignette of how in a particular situation they would address equity, diversity, inclusion, otherwise. And when we go out on school placement visits, that in the lesson planning and in the assessment piece as well, that we should be looking for explicit examples there. And that's something that we've done as well, trying to link those up. It is different. This goes without saying, of course, it's different at primary to post-primary. So within a primary classroom, the day is quite short, although I'm sure the primary teachers wouldn't thank me for saying that, but it's shorter than in post-primary. But it's difficult sometimes for generalist teachers to, you know, explicitly include all these elements. At post-primary, it tends to happen in certain subjects more than others. But there is an onus on us to make sure it actually happens in every subject and to create that level of awareness. So within our school placement guidelines, we can address it there in terms of our lesson planning templates, schema work templates, evaluation pieces as well. And I think it's important to make resources available to student teachers to support them, you know, to do this, that this is not unattainable. Like, this is not something that's pie in the sky. This is real, and I can see it in my class every day, but I have to look for it. So I think that's kind of important as well.
Yeah, I might just come back in relation to the primary teacher comment. I think while we are quite segregated in post-primary with the subjects, I would certainly support the primary teachers in the sense that they have a general holistic view of education, and you see continually strong global citizenship through their discourse and conversations with kids on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's more child-centred as well.
Absolutely.
As a curriculum,
and I think we can learn, I think, in post-primary, we can learn somewhat from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the new primary curriculum framework, which should launch in September this year, hopefully, is obviously an outcomes-based curriculum similar to what we have. So it's that bridge as well there. So you can go backwards or forward with that, you know, in whatever way you want. Like, first years coming into post-primary have had lots of experience of the child-centred curriculum at primary. So there's no reason why we couldn't be more student-centred. And instilling, you know, an understanding of responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility, you know, down the line, to be active citizenships and to ensure that we have equity, inclusion, you know, the whole concept of equity, I think, is misunderstood. And there's a really big, there's a big opportunity for us here, but there's also a big responsibility,
Absolutely. You
know, for us.
Absolutely. What about some of the other challenges, if we take the subject, you know, versus the student focus as a challenge? What other or some other challenges are there in the Irish system that you think might mitigate against implementing policies, programmes and practice of equity and diversity?
Well, I suppose that the ongoing challenge for everything is the curriculum. Who's the curriculum for whom? Who is this curriculum for? Is it to satisfy the OECD, or is it to satisfy kind of global priorities, or is it looking at the individual and, you know, working with individual responsibilities as well. The curriculum is packed, and we're now looking at senior cycle, you know, reform, at leaving certificate as well, and all that will come with it. And there'll be a lot. That is one thing, I think, because it is so exam focused and it's so points focused, that we do often lose sight of, you know, the important pieces within global citizenship. Not so much at junior cycle. I think there are opportunities there more than challenges. And certainly even through all the subjects, but through short courses as well, there's opportunities there, you know, to introduce and for the students to be creative in the way that they do that, and to collaborate and to work together. I suppose the biggest challenge I see really is the whole minefield of disinformation, and that we have to teach critical thinking skills from junior infants up at this point, so that people, when they look, they can make a decision. Is this real? Is this, you know, something that has been made up? Is there truth in this? What's the accuracy? Can we verify, you know, all that piece along the way? Because a lot of disinformation and misinformation is really causing chaos from, you know, an equity and diversity. And there's a narrative being created, which is very damaging to equity and diversity. The other thing I suppose we need to do is decolonize the narrative that we have in education, that we don't, you know, we need to think about whose window are we looking out when we teach our curriculum, and what examples we give, and what is familiar and what isn't familiar, because it's easy maybe to teach what you know, but it's really important to decolonize and even to think about the language and the culture, you know, around certain pieces as well. It doesn't happen enough. So I think that's a challenge overall. We have to remember, Anne, that the majority of student teachers have succeeded in the education system. They may have struggled, but they have succeeded. So they've only had a positive experience, whereas a lot of kids will never achieve what they've achieved and they can't relate to them. Yeah. You know, so I think that's important as well. And the identifiers, identifying yourself in the children that you teach, or students you teach, and the students then in terms of the role models of teachers as well. I think there's something there as well.
That's really interesting, because I think sometimes, you know, when people think about the challenges, we put a lot of onus on the actual individuals themselves, that you have to have a disposition for this kind of work. But you're adding to that and saying it's not only that disposition, it's the context by which we live in, and the changing society that you have to have an understanding of as well.
If you look at anything at the moment, there's a very dominant narrative there, which, you know, is shrouded in disinformation at the moment. And you have to dig very deep through lots of headlines and lots of fluff to get to what exactly, you know, is happening.
Okay. What then do you suggest are some of the explicit professional learning needs to support teacher educators in equity and diversity work?
That's a really interesting question, because, and I think we both know, there aren't a huge amount of supports tailor-made for teacher educators. We tend to make our own, and they tend sometimes to be reactive, I would say. So I think a professional network of teacher educators nationally, and I know we've had, you know, we have had that, and we've met, and those were always very good. Good days, good sharing experiences, lots of good positive experiences come out of it. I think it's back to that whole thing, like what you need to become a teacher educator. I'd love to see a CPD qualification or even certificate or something like that, to, you know, that we can do something that's accredited, you know, like a micro-credential or something like that, to actually qualify us, dare I say it, to be teacher educators. Because a lot of the time you're learning from your colleagues and you're learning on the hoof, but you don't get a lot of professional support, you know, around how to do this, how not to do. When you become a teacher, you have to do an ITE program. When you become a nurse, you have to do the profession. When you become a doctor, the same. You know, anybody can kind of come into teacher education, you know, in lots of good ways, but I'd love to see a CPD piece there, with, you know, some kind of, I use the word qualification kind of liberally there as well, because there's a whole capital piece with that, institutionalized capital piece with it. I do think the teaching council could possibly look to support teacher educators a little bit more on a professional basis. In my experience, they don't, and they won't touch it. They won't go near it. But they're very good at telling teacher educators what they should be doing in the implementation of the programme. So in the same ways you have preschool, you've primary, you've post-primary, you've further education. They don't generally deal with higher education or teacher education, but I think teacher educators who are educating the next profession of teachers, I think there's a space there that could be looked at.
You were very brave to answer what was going to be my last part of that question was in relation to who would provide these opportunities. And I think you've made it quite clear. When we did earlier work for this project, it became quite clear in relation to there was a lot of equity and diversity policies, procedures, but they were general, generic, yeah. And they didn't talk necessarily to teacher education. Yeah. And I think we are missing that piece in relation to direction or ownership in relation to who takes this on, other than a...
Yeah, well, it's a discipline of teacher education that tends to be forgotten. And you have to think from the student-teacher perspective as well. I mean, they need to have professional teacher educators guiding them through and working with them as they come through it. And we are professional teacher educators, but no more than anything, we can always improve. And we can always learn more. And generally, the only way you learn more is when you can do some kind of a training or some kind of a program or some kind of a badge. Like we have UDL badges, the universities make those available and they're very successful. We have teaching higher education badges. But for teacher educators, I think we need a specific badge, if you want to call it that, or a micro credential, which you can use in terms of your own progression as well and make it worth people's while, where there's a professional place for it and anchor it. The teacher council, to me, seems the right regulator for it. Maybe they wouldn't provide it as such, but certainly they could start the conversation going on it.
Okay. Melanie, thank you very much for your time. Thank you all for joining us on the EdTed podcast. Where we spent some time considering the provisions, the policies and programmes related to equity and diversity. Again, Melanie, your insightful comments and the rigour by which you actually practice what you preach is very impressive, always impresses me. And I thank you sincerely for your time and for sharing your insights and your expertise. We hope you found this episode inspiring and thought-provoking. And if you'd like to learn more about the EdTed project and our ongoing initiatives, visit our website at info-ted.eu/EdTed/. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to discuss innovative approaches and for advancing equity and diversity in teacher education. And see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne.